please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You're listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum, welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
A very fascinating and controversial topic for today's discussion, and that is plastic surgery or aesthetic surgery, whether it is allowed in the religion of Islam or not. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you as a Shaykh. What's your opinion on this specific point?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, I should not share here my own opinion.
Okay.
I should refer to the ulama, the
as maraja. As a representative of a maraja,
yeah,
or
as a followers,
okay. Yes.
Of maraja. According to the maraja, it is itself, by itself, there is no problem. You know,
okay.
I mean, plastic surgery itself is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So if it leads to some sins,
mm-hmm.
or gunah or ma'asiyah,
okay.
Then, of course, in that case, as a secondary kind of issue, it would become haram and forbidden.
Okay.
For example, let me give you this example. For example, if a lady
mm-hmm.
Refers to a doctor and reveals, for example, his body to the doctor.
Okay.
So since that doctor is not, stranger or non-mahram, we can say.
Okay.
He's not mahram. So in this case, this kind of surgery is haram.
It's
forbidden.
Haram.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's prohibited. But if not, if, for example, a woman wants to beautify herself,
okay.
for her husband,
okay.
So, and he refers, for example, some women doctor,
okay.
and do this,
okay.
and there's no problem with that.
So the problem is with the philosophy of the beautification of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Is it at all, preferable to beautify yourself, I mean your body, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you? He knows the best about his creation, isn't it? So he has the absolute knowledge. He is the omnipotent. He has the power. So he created you with this shape and physicality. Why doing cosmetic surgery?
To make yourself
more beautiful?
Yeah, when it comes to the process of the creation, you see, when something happens in nature, yeah,
okay.
and it happens in its own natural way.
Okay.
So you are there, your parents are there, what do you eat, yeah, the foods are
okay.
there, the surroundings are there,
that's
environments
right.
are there. Different things have their own roles in the creation of a person. So sometimes something may go wrong.
I'm not satisfied, for example, with my nose.
See?
Is this going wrong?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. Because in nature it happens. You know, when we say...
We are not talking about, for example, 10% specific points. For example, the children that are formed with, for example, deformity or defects, they need reconstructive surgery or something like that. Okay, we are okay about that. But what about the philosophy of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to religion? Because you are the representative of a religion over here in our studio. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with this body, your parents too. And your parents did not have the chance of doing the surgery because this is a modern invention, isn't it? A modern innovation of doing a surgery. Okay, if you got a defect in your breathing, your nose impairments or body impairment, okay, you are allowed to do that. Also Islam. But what about, for example, the cases that are necessary? Isn't it israf of the money, israf of the waqt? You as the ashraf makhlugat, the best creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were born in order to do surgery or cosmetic surgery?
You know, let me tell you that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most, let's say, beneficent, the most merciful, yeah? Gracious to the mankind.
Yes, yes, for sure.
But of course, He absolutely wants to make us, to create us in the most perfect way.
Okay.
There's no doubt about that.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is, as I told you, in this process of the creation, many other things has also their own roles in nature. You see, for example, let me give you this example. Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam.
Okay.
His hair and his face, the form of face, the skin, was a bit different from Imam Rida alayhi salatu wasalam. And even some people doubted that whether he is son of Imam or not. You see, you know the story.
Okay, yes, yes.
So can we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want to create Imam Jawad alayhi salatu wasalam in the most perfect body? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
But since mother of Imam Jawad was a servant, so of course
the female maid, that's
female,
right.
The mother was different.
Yeah, okay.
She had a different skin.
Linking to a specific ethnicity.
And she was from Africa.
Yeah, from Sudan, Africa, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, this is the point.
So he had a more colored...
That's it. So now the question is, here, can we say that Imam Rida was perfect and Imam Jawad was not perfect? No, of course, both of them were perfect. All of them
Very
are perfect,
good.
Yeah?
Now we got to this point. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of perfection? Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the human beings to be perfected.
Mm-hmm.
But does cosmetic surgery necessarily get into perfection meant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
You know, we should... I wanted to add a very, very key point here.
Okay.
That is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything in this world in its most perfect possible way. We should not forget the possibility.
Okay.
What is possible that would be done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
That's right.
So sometimes the possibility is important. You know, for example, if your mother and father, they are, for example, from Africa.
Yes.
So this possibility of this child is to be like Africans. You see?
100%.
So, of course.
Okay.
So we should not expect these parents to give birth to a child like, for example, other people.
Yeah,
whites.
Okay.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us in the most perfect possible way.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility should be there.
Yes.
So that's why sometimes you are free, you are allowed from the Sharia perspective that if you're dissatisfied with your appearance and you make you commit no sin if you do some surgeries.
Okay.
So Maraja says that you are allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you.
Yes.
So it is permissible. And you know, what was your question?
Yeah. Can I add some points?
Okay, Sayyid Alavi, let's get to the scene, man. What's your point?
Can I add some points to what our dear Sheikh said?
Yes.
Because I'm with him here.
Okay.
Okay, I'm in the same boat with the Sheikh.
Okay.
But your approach was a little bit harsh. And
I'm not against surgery or something like that. I do want to say, cosmetic surgery is a modern innovation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So during the history of the human beings, it was not tested.
Right.
Or something
but it is
like
it is like saying that I'm against gene modification.
Okay.
Am I against
for the improvement of the body? Is necessary
gene modification in food? Am I against gene modification in urban society and how we build our nature in a city, in a municipality? So I'm against gene modification. Am I or am I not? Because we have it.
Okay.
We are doing, when we build a city or an area of a city, we are touching nature, Mother Nature,
engineering, that's right.
Right.
Okay.
Gene, exactly.
Okay.
Or it's like saying, look, Allah has created me perfect. Then after I'm done with my food, why should I take supplements?
Supplements.
Supplements.
Okay.
vitamins, multivitamins, okay. Calcium, magnesium, okay. And so on, D vitamins, and so on and so
forth. To live more, huh?
Omega-3, okay. And I'm making a lot of advertisement here. Okay. Why should I take those supplements? What all doctors say, and I don't know about all, but according to my research, okay. It is strongly recommended that after you're done with your food, you take supplements because the body requires that. Not all those supplements are in your food.
Again, Sayed, we are getting into the bodily aspect of this type of surgery. You know, we are still talking about the body.
Right, I just gave those examples to come back to the surgery.
Okay, 100 years from now, right. The people were not used to getting vitamins or supplements,
right.
Or the pills,
right.
And they aged more than...
But that does not mean that
they aged more than today's generation.
Okay, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Okay.
I mean, the age we have today
is much higher than
what our ancestors lived like.
No. Let me give you good examples.
In West Asia or the level of age in Europe, what is much higher now than in the past.
Let me give you...
But when it comes to natural food, it was better in the past.
The natural food and also aging. Let me give you best examples about the ulama, the Shia ulama that lived in Najaf and Qom, okay?
Even today.
When you go to, because the lifestyle is without supplement, you know, when you go to the lifestyle, you do not see such things. Maybe the meaning of perfection has changed. It is because of the effects of the philosophy of the modern world, isn't it?
Now we're jumping a little bit back and forth. Okay, we need to concentrate a little bit. Now you mentioned the ulama, some of the ulama.
Yes.
You mentioned the maraji. Now we're becoming more and more specific.
Yes.
So it's not everyone.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, they have a specific lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know about the supplements that you mentioned. They might take it today. And they didn't in the past, but they might take it today.
Okay.
But the most important is that it doesn't matter how much supplements I take when I don't have a good lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It won't help you. So we shouldn't focus on one dimension.
Okay.
I just mentioned those dimensions as a whole of a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
The holistic perspective should be taken into consideration.
Okay.
Now, coming back, when we look at the average level of life, people live longer today. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now going back to surgery.
To the cosmetic surgery, that's right.
Cosmetic surgery. So I'm with the Sheikh here that, yes, Allah creates everything in perfection, but then you have other denominators gathering.
Okay.
And then you becoming produced. And then you have, for example, lines. You know, you mentioned, for example, nose prior to the program. But lines about on your forehead.
What's wrong with the lines?
It's nothing wrong, but can you make yourself prettier like you were when you were 22?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with doing what we call buttocks? You
cannot laugh.
You inject that liquid. So those lines, for people who have a lot of lines on their forehead, they become... They get the same forehead as almost the same as when they were 22.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? And I'm specifically addressing scholars here, okay? We study a lot. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong. What about hair plantation? Or what do you call it?
Hair implants. That's
hair,
right.
Hair implants.
Hair
What's wrong with that? That's a medical thing. What's wrong with that? That's completely all right.
Well,
what about the psychological perspective?
Let me say what's
perspective?
The problem is.
Yes. Surely.
The problem is that we are shifting our focus from intellect,
right.
From spirit to the body.
All right, I'm with you. Why not having both of them? Zahir wal batin. Zahir wal batin. The exterior and the interior.
You know,
the outer and the inner. Why not have both?
Okay.
هو الأول والآخر. وهو الظاهر والباطن.
Brother, listen.
Right.
Listen. Shifting the focus from the intellect and
spirituality
into the body is absolutely wrong, according
to
my opinion.
It should be the inner aspect first.
The case is that the bodily and the physical beauty will overshadow your intellect.
Mm.
Even those people who say, for example, are intellectuals or scholars or philosophers, according to my opinion, most of them, they do not do that, even in the Western culture, okay?
Right.
They do not do that because their value and their value system is very much different.
Right.
But maybe when you got, for example, to the actors, actresses, even politicians, including Mark today, they do that. Why? Because they believe in the face value
right.
and not the faith value,
right.
okay? F-A-I-T-H.
Right.
Now, which one is more important?
No, face without value doubt. Or faith value? I don't think anyone in the studio, not me and not our dear okay. Sheikh, would oppose you mm-hmm. in that okay. aspect. Everyone would say that the inner dimension, the intellectual dimension, okay. is far more important than the
and
outer.
And day by day.
But does that mean that sorry. We should forget the outer?
Sorry, Sheikh.
Yes.
But day by day, it's becoming complicated. It started at the very beginning with the nose right. surgery, rhinoplasty.
Now you have lips, now you have eyelashes.
Now we have lips, sorry, we have breasts, sorry, we have buttocks. We right. have the private parts, cosmetic surgery, okay?
Right.
So this is the body. Right. As long as you go on, you will start with a body. So today, okay, let's do the liposuction. Tomorrow, right. let's
We shouldn't exaggerate. We should not exaggerate and we should fix our culture.
This is what the bodily value does with you, brother.
We should fix our culture. We should teach our people about the philosophy, okay? The philosophy is very important, yes. very good.
Okay.
But after, and we mentioned the intellectual dimension, very good. But as I said, I mentioned the hair implant, the lines of your forehead, and even psychological dimensions. We live in a society, after all.
What about the psychology,
in a certain age, to when you were a little bit bigger,
okay,
it was seen as attractive.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, thank you much, Sheikh.
Thank you.
And Sayyid Alavi, for your presence in the program, okay. talking about the cosmetic surgery and what is the real meaning of beauty. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And thank you much, dear listeners. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in life. Well, that often lies, cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Mubahale, triumph of the rationality of Islam. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, everybody, and felicitations to you on an auspicious occasion. Today, the 24th of Dhul Hijjah, is the anniversary of a memorable and very unique dialogue in the history of civilization. It was between the Islam and Christianity. The Christians were led by their archbishops, while the Muslims were led by the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Before we go to the details, here is Ayah 64 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran, in which God commands his prophet to tell the other party, say, O people of the book, come to a word common between us and you, that we will worship no one but Allah, and that we will not ascribe any partner to Him, and that we will not take each other as lords besides Allah. But if they turn away, say, be witness that we are Muslims. The ayah that we recited to you removes any doubt about Islam's rationality and exposes the takfiris, masquerading as Muslims and jihadists to stir up violence, bloodshed, vandalism, and massacre of followers of other creeds and religions as nothing but godless terrorists. Islam is the religion of rationality and reason. The Prophet of Islam and his infallible Ahlul Bayt proved this time and again. They emphasize the importance of dialogue to stress truth. Today, when there is loud talk of dialogue among civilizations and discussions among different creeds, although without any tangible result because of the apparent lack of courage of the contending parties to acknowledge the positive points, let us turn our attention to a memorable parley held over a millennium and four centuries ago that stands as a beacon of light for all sincere debaters. As we said earlier, today, the 14th of Dhul-Hajjah, happens to be the anniversary of that dynamic dialogue that confirmed beyond an iota of doubt what truth and righteousness means. It was indeed a decisive debate, yet despite 3 days of discussions, a dead end appeared to be the result because of the reluctance of the opposing party knowledgeable theologians that had traveled all the way from Najran in the southwestern part of Arabian Peninsula to Medina in the north in their quest for determining the truth. Engaged in a peaceful parley in Masjid al-Nabi, or the Prophet's Mosque, was the Christian delegation of pontiffs led by Archbishop Abdul-Masih, who, despite the claim to monotheism, insisted that Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, was the Son of God. The visitors to Medina appeared to be stalled when it came to rational debate, although they weren't able to give any convincing proofs as to how the one and only omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent creator, who has neither form nor needs, could have an offspring or an associate to run the universe. The Prophet of Islam pointed out to the pontiffs the case of Adam and Eve and how they were created without parents by God, who merely says, be, and the beings, including Jesus, the virgin born, take shape and form. He explained to the Christians that Prophet Jesus never made such a blasphemous claim that would have certainly jeopardized his reformatory mission. Moreover, Tawhid or monotheism means the indivisible unity of God Almighty, who is far glorious to possess the characteristics of his creatures. Anyhow, it was important for this lively dialogue not to remain inconclusive. God Almighty had his own plans, so that till doomsday, the rationality of the universal message of Islam remains above doubts and disputes. Prompt came the revelation from the celestial heavens to the Prophet of Islam to challenge the Christians to invoke divine malediction, which is mubahale in Arabic, if they are confident of what they claim. Ayah 59 to 61 of Surah Nisa say in this regard, indeed, the case of Jesus with God is like the case of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, be, and he was. This is the truth from your Lord, so do not be among the doubters. Should anyone argue with you concerning him after the knowledge that has come to you, say, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, our souls and your souls. Then let us invoke and call down Allah's curse upon the liars. The two sides prepared for a showdown to invoke divine curse. On the morrow, the Christian threw elaborate rituals to their Trinity and the Prophet with a simple prayer of thanksgiving to the omnipresent Lord. That night, the Prophet covered himself with a cloak and was joined in it by his two little grandsons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, his daughter Hazrat Fatima Zahra, and his son-in-law Imam Ali, peace upon them. At this moment, Archangel Gabriel descended, giving tidings that God Almighty has created everything in the heavens and the earth for the sake of this blessed group. He conveyed the divine revelation in the form of Ayah 33 of Surah Rum of the Noble Quran, which reads, indeed, Allah desires to ward off all impurity from you, Ahlul Bayt, and keep you thoroughly pure. This ayah was confirmation of the Ahlul Bayt's infallible identity for the Prophet's wives and their kith and kin, and an indicator of the manifest miracle to occur the next day. The rest is history. How the pontiffs of Najran assembled with their flock at the appointed place, and how awestruck they became when the Prophet calmly arrived for the challenge to invoke divine wrath on the liars, but without any of his companions and with only his nearest and dearest family members, that is, daughter Hazrat Fatima Zahra, son-in-law Imam Ali, and two little grandsons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace upon them. These were the immaculate Ahlul Bayt, or the nearest and dearest of his blessed family, the Ahlul Bayt, whose pristine purity has been vouchsafed by God Almighty in Ayah 33 of Surah Ahzab. The Christians realized that, without the least doubt, these fabulous five were the pride of Jesus and his Virgin Mother Mary, peace upon them. The awestruck Christians of Najran realized the truth. They were beholding enlightened visages that would instantly bring the wrath of God if this blessed group of five were to lift their hands to heaven. The Christians wisely withdrew the challenge and made peace, thereby proving to posterity the folly of opposing the Ahlul Bayt. The challenge was instantly withdrawn. Islam had a resounding triumph. In the words of the Abdul Masih, faces so radiant and pristinely pure that God would make mountains move from their places if they were to invoke divine curse on their opponents. But how could the Ahlul Bayt curse mankind? they never cursed anyone. Despite being oppressed, persecuted, and mercilessly martyred after the passing away of the Prophet, not by Christians but by persons who claimed to be Muslims. The reference for the Ahlul Bayt is considered by God as a token of gratitude for Muslims for the selfless endeavors of the Prophet in delivering them from the darkness of disbelief, as Ayah 23 of Surah Shura says. Mubahala is thus an undeniable manifestation for mankind that the rationality of Islam will remain incomplete and unable to win over minds and souls in debates and dialogues, however sincere the intention, without the Ahlul Bayt. The last living member of the Ahlul Bayt is Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, whose reappearance the world is eagerly expecting to rid planet Earth of all exploitation, enlighten nations, as the Christians of Najran discovered, and to establish the global government of peace, justice, and equity, with Prophet Jesus serving as his lieutenant. Mubahala also proves that those calling themselves Takfiris, Salafis, Wahhabis, etc. have no relation to Islam and message of peace and rationality, because the Islam of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt doesn't call for wanton killing, destruction of civilization, violence, or bloodshed. The day of Mubahala thus left a lasting impression on the minds of mankind of the inseparable link between the Prophet's progeny and the Book of God. Perhaps many of the companions of the Prophet may have recalled that day another significant divine revelation in confirmation of the velayat, or the divinely ordained authority of Imam Ali, peace upon him, the first and foremost member of the Ahlul Bayt, on this very same 24th of Dhul-Hajjah a few years ago, when he gave away his ring as alms by indicating with his finger while engrossed in the ritual prayer in the Prophet's mosque in Medina, when a beggar pleaded for help. God confirmed this highly generous act of the Imam by revealing Ayah 55 and 56 of Surah Ma'idah, which read, "Your guardian is only Allah, His Prophet, and the faithful, who maintains the prayer and gives the zakat while in ruku. Whoever takes for his guardian Allah, the Prophet, and the faithful, should know that the Hezbollah is indeed the victorious."
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human beings in the Quran, mankind in the Quran, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at them. In a previous episode, we said one of the features that distinguishes human beings from any other creature is the fact they have the ability to talk. That's why in logic, in the study of logic, or as we call it, mantiq, they classify mankind to be al-haywan al-natiq, mammals that can speak, which is itself a great honor. Now, having the ability to speak itself, if it was just the ability to speak without anything else, then it wouldn't be much of an honor, would it? I mean, if you can train a parrot to talk, or some certain birds, they can mimic human beings, or certain animals, they can mimic human beings, that's not an honor by itself, is it? I mean, trying to copy someone else is not an honor in itself, unless it has something that goes hand in hand with it, and that is al-aql, brain, intellect. A parrot can learn words, sentences, sometimes can learn more than one sentence. Sometimes some parrots have the ability to memorize, I don't know, 100 words or more, but they have no intellect. They're just copying. They have no idea what they're saying. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the human being the brain itself. And you can see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to degrade or he wants to insult mankind for their bad actions, he actually uses the intellect as a way to blame them. We'll get to that in a minute. Intellect, obviously, is how a person understands that he's a mukallaf and he's responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we spoke about before. Intellect and knowledge and brain, a human being has the ability to see things from in and out. So sometimes you can look at something and you perceive something, but sometimes you have the knowledge to understand what makes that thing work and what makes it tick. Unlike an animal, for example, an animal sees something and acts accordingly. Where human beings, we have more than that. The brain and the logic that Allah has given us is a tool and a mean that we can differentiate between right and wrong, falsehood and righteousness. And we can distinguish between good and evil, which other creatures don't have. Sometimes our intellect becomes our insight that we use to work out our affairs and to, you know, achieve happiness in this world and in the hereafter. All that goes through intellect. And the intellect, with intellect, I can go back to the past. I can look at civilizations. I can go to the future. I can get an advice from the previous nations. I can learn from what the people done in the past. I can travel in my own mind to places, to times beyond reach to my physical body. I mean, isn't that a great honor itself? And human beings, they don't use it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defames them by it. It says, أَفَلَا يَعْقُلُونَ. Don't they think? So Allah uses it as a point of an insult. أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Don't they contemplate? أَفَلَا يَبْصُرُونَ. Don't they see? And you see that it goes on and on and on. Even when, for example, أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ. Is there anyone amongst you that is wise enough? And then أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't you remember? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, when he wants to talk about man and how bad he is, he's like, what's wrong with you in terms of intellect? He does not look at the sin itself, rather looks at the source of the sin, which is the intellect. Now, we'll leave that thought there and we'll continue right after the break.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We were saying just before the break that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He bestowed intellect and aql, logic and brain inside me, He wants me to think with it, He wants me to contemplate with it, ponder with it, see with it, learn with it, right? There's so many things I need to do. And when He talks about the mu'mineen, those who take their taklif correctly and they use their intellect correctly, He says, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They contemplate, they ponder on the creation of the heavens and earth. And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَطَلًا. Surely, our Lord, You did not create this out of vain, or out of falsehood, you were keeping yourself occupied. No, a human being, a mu'min, let's not make it into a mu'min. Generally speaking, any human being needs to look at things around them and contemplate about it. Think, ask questions. So, for example, when we have this debate between monotheists and atheists, and these different ideologies, the first argument that we bring forward, don't you think? Can't you see things around you? Do you think they just chance? They think just appear out of nowhere without no one creating them? So Allah says, let them think. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. Don't they contemplate within themselves? مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Allah have not created the earth and the heavens except with the truth. So Allah again wants me and you to think. So we are talking creatures. We are thinking creatures. We are an upright creatures. We walk on 2 feet, unlike animals who walk on 4. And we are in the best of form. So when you look at, when you put all these things together, and you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiated man and glorified man, it makes you feel that you are a special creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wants each of us to see that in ourselves so we can take it seriously, so we can become more responsible to do the right thing. And at the same time, when to be able to respect one another, take care of one another. So Allah, when He's giving me the ability to think and interact, He does not want me to use this intellectuality in a way where I deprive my other fellow human beings out of their own wealth and health and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. Because sometimes we use that. And instead of doing good, we do evil. And instead of helping people, we end up harming people. And instead of benefiting earth, we end up destroying earth. As you can see, we human beings, we literally sucking earth and the resources of earth dry. We are raging wars against one another. That defeats the purpose of creation to begin with. Allah says, well, I have given you intellect, I have given you the power to think, I have given you the power to reason, but you're clearly using it in the wrong way. So when we do, Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ أَفَلَا يَعْقُلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Don't they see, don't they contemplate, don't they remember? And when we do, He says, يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, they think. That's a point of glorification and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at us depending on how we use that intellect. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear friends, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to Lantern. On the continuation of Lantern, we have an interesting story. I invite you to listen to it. A dying old man said to his doctor while on the sickbed, "Doctor, don't worry. I know I'm going to die. I didn't want to come here, but they brought me here. Please don't worry about me. Look at my hair. They are gone. I'm so old, but you're so young. I have learned a lot from life. If you don't mind, I will tell you some of them before I die. When I wanted to enter the university, I wanted to study zoology. But everyone said I should study engineering, that I will be a great engineer. So I listened to them. I had no one to pay my fees. I had to work and also pay my fees. In my third year, I couldn't cope with my studies. I had to drop at 40. I got a huge contract. My name was in the news. The next day, all my friends and families were at my house. Everyone had a serious problem. Within 1 week, I spent all the money on them with the promise that they will pay back. I could not complete the contract because they refused to return the money as promised. So I was sent to jail for 6 years. I stayed in jail and I came out. When I came out, they were nowhere. There was one mistake I made through all this time. Now it's clear to me. I refused to listen to myself. I ignored my own self and listened to others. Now that I'm here, the only person that is with me is myself. You see, It's very wise to seek advice from others, but it's very dangerous to ignore your own self. The only person that can overrule yourself is Allah, after Allah listen to yourself next. I know it may not make sense to you now, but always remember, I told you, learn to listen to yourself. That was our today's story. Now the continuation of it. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astin. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with why some people may want to misuse us or benefit from our help for the unfavorable or unwelcome purposes. It has happened to all of us. I mean, I'm sure that everybody has experienced it, that some people may approach you and may say that they are in dire need of your help, but the minute you help them, you find that the earlier plans or the aims were not anything that you would agree with in the beginning. You might wish to receive the approval of everybody. This is utterly impossible. Please note carefully that great people in the world, great people in the world, like, for example, the divine prophets, okay, or, for example, very great figures in the, even in the world of knowledge and the scholarship, you should know that as soon as they wanted to accomplish the projects and that they wanted to carry out whatever they noticed to be necessary for their own community, race, they received some oppositions. Imagine the case of the Prophet Abraham. All Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, if not other religions, know that the Prophet Abraham was an icon, an iconic personality of monotheism and monotheistic belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what the Prophet Abraham did in his own community, in his home community in present-day Iraq, was inviting everybody to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to worship idols. This is, of course, a great doctrinal achievement. Yet you find that there were some people, even among his close relatives, who opposed him, who opposed Abraham in his decisions. Yet you find that based on Quranic assertions, you find that the Prophet Abraham was so resolute that he never cared about receiving the approval of this or that person at the cost of receiving the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's important in this regard is that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be happy with what we do, no matter what other people might say. Because, some people may like something right now, and after a few minutes, they may not like it. Please note carefully that, imagine, you have, a teenager child at home, okay? Your teenager child, right now, he or she may like ice cream, okay? Having an ice cream, after just a few minutes, if you ask him that, him or her, that if he needs, for example, another ice cream, he may reject it. He may reject the offer. He's the same person, okay? Before, for example, half an hour ago, he used to insist on having an ice cream, and now he rejects it. Now he says that he doesn't like it.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
people are like this. Okay, you can't receive the approval and appreciation of everybody. This is utterly impossible in the world. Utterly impossible. At the same time, you find that this is, so long as this is impossible, you have to work. You have to work with your intellect, with your power of deciding of on everything, in the proper way. Another reason is that you may let certain people to make misuse of your capacities, your energy, or your capabilities. In this regard, you should stand firm in your position, okay? If you know that something is wrong, okay, and you know that, okay, doing such a thing is wrong, or, for example, showing the slightest compromise, I mean, in a certain project will bring about very unfavorable consequences. Don't think that, okay, this is my relative, this is my father, this is my cousin, and so on, okay? Stand firm in your position, okay? And never show any compromise in this regard. Another reason may be that you may not want to show off your passions, your sensations, or your sentiments. Some people may object to your doing so because they may say that, okay, since you've got a very high social position, okay, you shouldn't behave in this way. You should be very firm. You should be very stiff and so on. While you find that, I mean, our sensations and our senses and our sentimental reactions are parts of our, I mean, they make parts of our capabilities, and they make parts of our behavior. So there's no reason, for example, not to show your anger, or not to show your wrath, or not to show your happiness, and so on. Another reason may be that, okay, you may find that you've become the victim of very treacherous people. This is, of course, true. Some treacherous people may approach you because they know that you are a capable person. Well, if you are experienced enough, you understand that, I mean, such people are treacherous and they cannot be relied upon. But if, for example, you are not that much experienced, then they may work on you and make you, I mean, compromise with their own, with their projects or with their aims. Thank you.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub.
Aperture. Welcome back to Aperture. We witnessed the spectacular and awe-inspiring natural beauty of the Kaluts, or Yardangs, in the western part of Dashtalut in Iran. Rising up to 80 meters, these streamlined ridges have been carved by the wind out of the clay and sand lining the desert floor, creating a magnificent array of high-rising sculptures and lying parallel to the prevailing winds. The Yardangs are some of the world's most prominent. Stay with us as we follow Javad Gharayi, an Iranian nature explorer and documentary filmmaker, as he introduces more of Iran's desert wonders to us.